This is HPR episode 2093 entitled GNU Health. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 20 minutes long. The summary is, I talk to my friend Tom and his collaborator Ewan, who are working on a project using GNU Health.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio, and today I'm here at Napier University visiting a friend Tom and his collaborator Ewan, who are doing an interesting project, and the project is based around GNU Health. So we thought we'd just talk a little bit about GNU Health, what the involvement has been with it, and then speak briefly about the project. So can you fill me in as to what GNU Health actually is then, Tom?
Yeah, okay. Well, GNU Health is free and open source software. It's FOSS. Mm-hmm. That's the key thing about it. It's free, first of all. And it's come from somebody who's a medical doctor and a computer scientist, who was a consultant with SAP, the famous ERP system.
Okay.
It's probably the most used ERP system in the world. Well, Luis Falcon, the leader of the GNU Health project, was a SAP consultant for many years before he decided that what he would like to do was to work with social issues in health, particularly in developing countries. He just set a great deal of time and effort aside to develop a free and open source software for hospitals, health centres, government, medical record keeping, and small shacks, and anywhere that you want to do medical outreach.
I've seen him interviewed before, just for a bit of background for people who are listening. He was on a podcast, one of the Twit series podcasts, whose name has escaped me right now, but I'll put it in the show notes when I remember. But he was interviewed about GNU Health from, is he based in Argentina or Brazil or somewhere? I'm not sure.
No, Gran Canaria.
Okay. Anyway, his people can refer to more about him through these various routes. I think he's probably got a Wikipedia page too,
yeah.
If I'm right.
Yeah. He was recognised by Richard Stallman in 2012, and the project was to, as a social, a project of great social good.
Yeah.
And it's been adopted by the United Nations University. So it's a little bit fabulous, really, yeah. And so is he.
Amazing. So you got involved with this by some means or other. What happened?
Well, yeah, I've done some work in the past with medical video conferencing, mm-hmm. and databases. And so I was doing some consultancy last year for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital, which has been built in Johannesburg. It's an extraordinary hospital. It's quaternary care. It's the highest level of pediatric intervention that can take place in the medical environment. It's the very difficult things that you offer for securing recovery for children in really difficult medical circumstances. Mm-hmm. So this hospital was built due to the efforts of something called the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital Trust, which was a project of the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund. And both of these are run by Bongi Makabela, who's this extraordinary woman whose history from being a young child in Soweto to being the CEO of the fund and the trust is an amazing story. But while I was there, I was helping them with some advice about their hospital information system,
right,
as well as the video conference.
Because they hadn't at that point decided on what they were going to do as far as that was concerned.
And their task was to raise the $60 million that would be involved in building the hospital. And then the South African government said that they would run the hospital, and that would take around about $30 million a year, something like that, $25-30 million. So that's a huge achievement for an effort of public concern.
Sure.
And a children's hospital. It makes it the second children's hospital in South Africa, and Johannesburg is a city of about 8 million people, so it's a huge thing. So, of course, there's a great deal of interest in providing the healthcare solution to a hospital from the private companies, and there's a great deal of money to be made from, I mean, making a good installation, running it professionally, but also making profit from it. I was looking into trying to help them with the procurement stages and trying to kind of give questions that would guide in the process that would maybe help to get a good deal for the hospital. And one of the possibilities that came to my attention was Guna Health. And that's when I came in touch with Luis Falcón, and I saw what he'd achieved in Jamaica. The one thing that I had seen that really blew me away was that he'd made a 350 plus installation of Guna Health in Jamaica, from hospitals right down to the smallest facility. And it was being used by the Ministry of Health there, even. By the Ministry of Health, they were keeping the central medical records, which were then being shared around Jamaica by all of the different places where you could get medical care.
Yeah.
So I also know that that was a two-year effort on behalf of Luis Falcón. I was running a social enterprise, and he is basically running a social enterprise too. He didn't get paid a great deal of money while he was installing, because he was doing that for the love of his heart and the proof of the concept and all of that other good stuff. But then I started to realise that it was very good, but that there were issues of how much it would cost, for instance, for a government like South Africa to say, how much would that cost us to put in properly, and what would be our responsibilities? And then I got really fascinated about the possibility of something like Guna Health competing with all these other professional providers. And that's where we've come to.
It's pretty groundbreaking stuff. I mean, there are entities in local government and government and stuff all over the world that are using free software for various purposes, you know, office systems and desktop systems and so forth. But it's still very much ground that's being broken, and there's many factions that are fighting against it, shall we say? Yeah. So it's not a simple equation by any means.
No, I'm really excited about what the Turkish did, Pardus Linux, an installation that they use for civic functions. They have good, well-developed open source solutions for civic functions, which they do through their, they have an institute for research. So it's part of the fabric of the country that they have something working on open source software, developing it for their own needs, and then distributing it and training people in its use.
Yeah,
I find that very exciting.
It makes good sense. So, what point did you leave things when you left South Africa? What was the state of play as far as Guna Health was concerned?
Guna Health couldn't be a contender as a solution for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital.
Right.
That was never really a possibility at that time. It had, whatever comes in has to be seen to work right away.
Yeah.
And people have to be responsible in teams for anything that goes wrong and being there to fix things that go wrong. So the South Africans, with breaking ground in so many different ways, they were never really going to look at something that was of this type as they're innovating this children's hospital.
It's not reached a state where it can run an operation like that, even though it's out there in Jamaica?
Well, I think it probably could with proper support. That's what I honestly think. But it wasn't proven enough.
Right.
I don't think that the South
Africans. There's a bit of a risk as far as they were concerned.
Yeah. And they've taken many risks and they've fairly much all paid off.
Yeah.
But I think there's also caution coming in as you start to get to the reality of the hospital's going to open in December of this year. You know, from that point, it's actually got to be a working hospital. There's nothing that they can't be in a problem space at that point. So
yes, yeah. Then you came back to the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
To Edinburgh, in fact, which is where we are, and then you've got a project which is concerning GNU Health. Do you want to sort of fill in the gaps there?
Yeah. Well, the one lovely thing about the hospital is it's to accept children from other cities in South Africa and other countries in the Southern African Development Community and probably right across Africa. The quality of the care that they will provide is just going to be sought after. It's going to mostly deal with just people who it's not going to be a private hospital. There will be a certain proportion of beds for private patients, but mostly it will be for people who have needs for the service. So they're going to be interoperating with a lot of different places, a lot of different health centres, possibly other hospitals, possibly other places. And if a young person comes in, they'll be in for 5 to 10 days and then they'll go back. So interoperability between the health resources within the hospital and those that will want to talk to the hospital became something that I thought would be a good area to work in. And if we could get and prove an installation of GNU Health that was capable of interacting with the hospital and sharing health records, then we know that we could give to possible sister hospitals a free healthcare solution that would interact with the hospital, and it would be the beginning of a conversation possibly with national governments that actually this is a proven software solution and possibly could save us a fortune if we go down that route. So Napier very kindly, and we were looking to do this as cost effectively as possible. So we thought of using Raspberry Pis, ten Raspberry Pi 3s. These beautiful little things you've probably talked about a great deal, have you?
There's been a fair bit of discussion of Raspberry Pis on Hacker Public Radio,
Well, anyway, they're beautiful. So with our Netgear switch, 10 of these with different free and open source software services on them, interconnected through a switch, so that we could start to look at interoperability issues between the services. And also we got a lovely little Nuke, an Intel Nuke, Intel 7 processor with 500 gigs of SSD drive and 16 gigabytes of RAM. So we could test virtual machines before we put them on the pies. So Ewan Livingston has had the difficulty of dealing with all these installations. I'm so pleased not to be face to face with all these problems. He's doing all that sort of stuff. But we are getting to the point now where we've installed five installations of GNU Health. We've got a nice open source PAX system, caving system.
Medical images and that type of stuff.
Images. Which are images in space and time. They are often animations.
Mm. So things like MRI and those types of things, which are successive images.
It's not just an image file. It's also got the patient's records attached to the file as well, so it's quite a large file. And each scan can have several files.
So yeah, in terms of databases, that's a pretty heavy task, I guess.
Yeah. Frightening task for those little pies, but but so far, well, the PAX system, the picture archiving system, we think that's going to be the tricky one, but we got some great advice from you, Dave, from your solution with the little USB drive.
Yeah, you're putting SSD drives on pies, which is, yeah.
So we're going to see how that goes with PAX.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. So you and your involvement has been to do quite a lot of
the
setup stuff here, and one of the images that I'll be attaching to this show is your lovely tower of 10 pies, which was partly your construction, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we've got the 6 different cases, we have like a top and a bottom, and then the sort of pill in between, and then we took some screws, cut the heads off, and just joined them all up together.
Just stacked them one on top of the other. Yeah. So the top of one case is the bottom of the next.
Yeah,
and so
just cut the drill holes and the top cover.
Yeah. It looks lovely. It's amazing structure. And you're powering it all from a USB hub at the moment.
Yeah, port USB hub.
So what's actually happening with this setup then?
Well, we're in early stages. We've got interoperability of some sort. We're aiming towards the FAST hospital interoperability resources standard health level 7, HL7. That's something that actually might have value away from just what we're trying to do. It might be valuable to other health services. But interoperability is a huge issue with anything to do with health records.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are hoping to do is kind of establish a place where you can test compatibility, that you hit or miss the HL7 standard, and we want to be able to work and work with these people in the open source projects to help them to hit the HL7 and support them. So we would like to be a centre whereby you could see an installation of GNU Health, you could play with it, demonstrate it in a way.
Because it, I guess people will be a bit wary of something like this, won't they? If you, I mean, presumably you could install this in any from a small to a large setup, depending on how you built it.
Yeah.
And some people who might actually be interested in doing this at maybe the smaller end are going to be nervous of it without having a chance to see it demonstrated and mess around with it and stuff. So there's quite a lot of PR and teaching and so forth that could come out of that, and that's what you're thinking of. Am I interpreting you right?
Yeah, but I mean, my main concern is not with the people at the lower end who are mm-hmm. capable of doing it and imaginative enough to want to do it,
mm-hmm.
but those the higher end when they're tasked with, say, for instance, 4 weeks to make a decision about a procurement, and then they've got questions that they will take people through. So I would want those people to be able to say, right, well, we'll spend 3 days looking at an e-health installation that's free and open source mm-hmm. software, and be able to see GNU Health as one of those options, and maybe come here, for instance, to say, right, well, set up a hospital, a health centre, and a medical faculty at the university to be able to use the same materials and show us it operating. So I really want to be able to support the professionals actually who make the difficult decisions, and the governments who have to be brave to make, the brave decisions to support these things, to help them, really, to show them. Because now that I've met so many of these people who are doing this work, we've talked about this before, Dave,
mm-hmm.
people developing these projects are not only brilliant, they're committed, they're often just in teams of one or two, they are the sole supporters of the project.
Yes,
and they actually kind of do need to be supported. Now, universities can definitely do that.
Yeah, and that's maybe something that's happened in the past in some contexts, and then has not happened so much because universities have been under pressure to take a more business-oriented view of things. But there's and we've seen in recent times the difficulties of small teams supporting quite important bits of software like SSH and all of those types of things, and how just some guy in his bedroom basically developing it and supporting the world, and so integrating things better together so that there's more places to turn to get support for this type of thing. It's definitely a highly desirable thing.
That's where my main interest and main concern is, really, because I don't. Of course, we see burnout with people who are doing things like that, and those who are greatly committed will not burn out. They will stick with it the whole way. But I'd like to take away the sense that just because you've done a free and open source software package that you're going to do everything for a charitable donation.
Mm.
I'd like them to be recognised as the consultants that they are. Yes. I mean, for instance, Louise has got a consulting company, and that's where he makes his income. The software and all that sort of stuff is all free, and then he's a consultant.
Mm.
But unless we kind of make it possible for them to make, and I think good incomes, so if there was going to be one of the things we want to look into is costing for an implementation that works.
Mm-hmm.
So to work out the scenarios of all the different types of users that would be required to use a bit of software for a particular purpose, and then say to the government, that's going to be 25 people at this level, 3 people at that level, 4 people at that level. And if you paid them with the average cost that's in the marketplace right now, that will cost you X amount of money.
Yeah.
And then just to say to them, you've got the software, it's free. You can train people within your own organizations, your own country, and you can develop it to your heart's content. And if you want to run it, this is how much it would cost you to pay proper salaries for that. And I would really like to see them properly. Yeah, that's my keen on that.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic idea. Having heard a bit about it when Louise Falcon was being interviewed, it sounded to me like a great solution to the problem that is massively expensive in other contexts and possibly not anywhere near as flexible as GNU Health is likely to be.
Yeah, well, so, we've seen horrific wastes of money with NHS England. Big projects that have been kiboshed that have cost billions of pounds and come to nothing.
Yeah.
And these people are working on fragments of those sums of money, and they're doing brilliant things.
Yes, yes. It's often the way, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to hear how you get on as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll call a halt there. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ewan. Thank you, Tom.
Brilliant, dude. Thank you.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.